This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast, Andy, Jason, Mike.
What? Andy, Jason, Mike. What happened there?
Oh, sounded good to me.
Clock going backwards, Mike.
Oh. I don't even know if I can do this show. What happened there? Bizarro land.
You missed a couple days last week, and
I guess
the order of things has changed.
But I'm still first. Well, that was the key.
You get to say it. The words.
Yeah.
Alphabetical.
Yeah, real Deion Sanders situation over there.
Do you like Deion?
I think he's can be charming as a television personality. I don't know if it'll work as a coach.
I think I like Deion.
Back when they had primetime on NFL Network, like every week, and he would highlight a few guys. It was always fun.
He is very charismatic.
Yes.
And I think that'll famous,
right,
as a football player, which for college kids, that's going to matter. This new paid world of college players, I think
that NIL.
Yeah, I think that's going to that's going to be good for the Deion Sanders type coaches.
Yeah, and it's going to keep players in college if you can write them a big check to come back. Like, I don't know.
No, Bijan, you declare for the draft immediately. Oh, my goodness. After all the drama of this last week, if Bijan Robinson goes back to college, I will spend at least one night crying.
Yes. In this week's edition of The Truman Show, Jason has the number one pick by a point. This last week, the matchup determined that Jason would his team isn't bad. He just has the pick of a bad team. And he's been pining for Bijan all mm-hmm. year long. And his trade was on the basis that he'd have a shot to draft him.
In my mind, I was trading Chris Godwin, a good dynasty asset, for Bijan. It wasn't for the one.
It
was for Bijan Robinson next year. So he needs to be in the NFL for me to draft him.
It's exciting for you, though. You have the pick, and he should come out and play.
Do you think, would we allow him to just still draft Bijan?
Oh,
even if he went back to college?
Like a one-year
shirt? Just like a little byline in the dynasty rules there. Be like, sure, you can go ahead and draft him if you want.
There haven't been a lot of prospective, like, top 15 type of picks that have gone back. I mean, I remember Leinart doing it, where he would have been the number one overall pick and then ends up...
Whoops. Mistakes were made.
But it is a different world now where players will get... It'll get thinned out a little bit in terms of who's coming out. But I'm not ready to turn the page yet to college prospects.
No.
we have fantasy playoffs at hand. Today we've got the waiver show. There are some names to talk about today at all of the positions. We'll have our quarterback streamers, maybe even more relevant this week because I think there are some really good options. And there are some injuries at the quarterback position, in particular those of you that will be without Lamar Jackson this upcoming week.
And there are six bye weeks, including Justin Fields. So at every position, this is the week leading into the playoffs, six teams on bye. This, gentlemen, this might be the most important show we've done this year.
And, you know, people following along with the tweets last night, of course, Mike Evans did not get it done. 7.9 when I needed 9. Or less than 9, really.
Dude.
I needed like 0.48 more points.
Yeah, it was anything. If he caught a screen pass for no yards, you win. And he had two drives at the end of the game in pure passing situations where that was true, and he did not get it done.
He was a little tired there. He had to come out the field.
Yeah.
Pass interference on a bomb that was going to him in the end zone.
That he was definitely catching.
Definitely.
If the defender hadn't pulled his arm down.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. So, Brooks holds on to the bye.
Congratulations,
so far.
Brooksy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it's that like locked in? Because our whole division has the same record, right?
You got to win.
Yeah.
You control your own destiny now. If I had 0.48 more points, Brooks, I would have controlled my own destiny. But, not to be. Monday nights are made for pain.
Yeah, also, are the Buccaneers bad?
Yes.
No. They won. They're really, really good.
I realize they put up 14 points in the fourth quarter after having 3 points the entirety of the game. But I think they might be bad.
I think that's because you watched the game. So the Buccaneers are not a good team. I mean, obviously, this isn't a very good division. You're talking about a 500 team leading the way. Two of their recent victories were barely stolen W's from a game where they were putrid and down the whole game. I mean, 3 minutes to go in this matchup last night, it was almost unfathomable that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could win the game. It took a complete boneheaded decision by Mark Ingram, which he apologized for. To even allow the...
What, was to come back in the game?
No, when he ran out of bounds on an easy first down and then they didn't
because
get the third...
Because he was hurt. Like, he should not have been back in the game.
Well, I mean...
He was also... He ran
he
out...
All he had to do was run out of bounds a yard further.
Right, or...
That's why he apologized.
Reached the ball out.
Right, but I'm saying, like...
There was no one near him.
Yeah.
But to me, the way I looked at... I saw that play was, why is Mark Ingram back in the game after being down, grabbing his knee... And then you gave him the ball, and that when he was out of bounds, he was grabbing his leg again. Like, that was just, it was a weird decision by the team to put Ingram back in that position.
Alvin Kamara was 12 for 26 in this game.
2.2 yards per carry.
Woof.
Two catches.
Woof.
You know, there were people going into this game needing Kamara and Olave to combine for points, or Chris Godwin and Kamara has not been, he's not been it.
But he did not get 10 fantasy
points.
No,
he did not.
No, terrible. I mean, Ingram outrushed him in terms of total yardage on fewer carries. Taysom Hill caught a touchdown pass.
He did. He also dropped the game-winning catch.
Come on.
I forgive you because it's on brand. It is on brand, and I get it. If it was Deontay...
Was it in his hands?
If it was Deontay Johnson, I would say the same thing. However, Foot Clan, if you are listening and did not see the game, he caught a difficult catch.
It was in his hands, right?
Yeah, secured
okay,
it.
Okay, it was in his hands, and then it was on the ground.
And then a defender came
I'm
up
just
with
saying,
a
to
brutal,
the definition,
brutal hit on the ball, totally legal, knocked it out. And
But when a ball hits you in the hands, and then it is on the ground afterwards, that is called...
An incomplete pass.
A drop.
No.
Concussion is the word you're looking for. Yeah.
He didn't get hit. He got hit in the ball. I don't think he got hit in the head, did he?
Oh, he got hit.
No.
He got shoulder.
Yeah, I think
he went
right.
I think
in the
it
ball.
Was a perfectly legal hit, right? Like
right in the chest.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have to relook at it, but it looked like he got hit in the chest and then dropped the ball.
But regardless, for fantasy purposes, the Buccaneers look really, really bad. Mike Evans hasn't been good in over a month now. Obviously, there was the pass interference call that would have changed the entire game, and maybe you can have those small mental victories. But
Chris Godwin also had a touchdown call back.
The reality is Tom Brady, when there's any pressure on him, is doing what Matt Ryan's been doing, which is just going, I gotta get rid of the ball, shortest route possible, and they're not protecting him very well. That's the issue, is that his offensive line isn't what it was a couple of years ago. They've had injuries and retirements, and Brady is not going to be able to do the same things that he's done in the past unless they protect him, and to my knowledge, they're not gaining any new offensive linemen.
What do you do with the running backs in Tampa Bay moving forward in terms of determining start-sit? I mean, Rashad White had 6 catches in this game. So did Leonard Fournette.
Man.
White got into the end zone. Fournette ran for more yards. I mean, it is a full time split.
Yeah, it really looked like Rashad White was taking over, and then he had a pretty bad fumble, if I'm remembering that correctly. And then Fournette was very much the next man up. They went back to Rashad White. Obviously, he caught the touchdown at the end, but it seems like it will be the timeshare. But I lean Rashad White.
Yeah, prior to the fumble, Fournette was very involved. This looked like a pretty even split, and I think that's what you have to look at. You could start either one of these guys, but you're going to be splitting the workload. So, for instance, next week, I believe they play the San Francisco 49ers.
Ew.
I don't want a split workload against that defense with this offense. I'll probably bench both of these guys. But if they were playing the Chargers or a run defense that is, you know, really porous, then I would probably play both.
You didn't want to play Jeff Wilson or Raheem Mostert against the 49ers, and so I think you're right on the money with this one. Let's turn the page.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
John Harbaugh called Lamar Jackson week to week with his knee injury, stating he's less likely to play in week 14. They signed Brett Hundley to the practice squad. So we'll miss him for at least a week.
More than likely, yeah.
Kenneth Walker, small strain in his ankle. Injury is unusual.
That's a quote.
Also, all of and this is important because he's obviously a key running back that looks like he might not play this week. This is the waiver wire show. So you're like, okay, who's the next man up? They're all gone. I mean, the Seattle running backs, Travis Homer is dealing with a knee sprain. DJ Dallas picked up basically a high ankle sprain and then did the thing where you play through it a little bit because he had to. I expect them to sign someone, and I don't think it is unreasonable to think that Kenneth Walker might be back this week. They haven't ruled him out this week. He would be less than 100%, but I have no idea who is going to be allowed to play running back for. I mean, maybe it's Tony James.
It might be.
Jones Brooks Robinson. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I think you added one in there.
I'm not sure it's Brooks Robinson.
No,
you added a baseball one in there, Jason.
Yeah, for you, Brooks.
Oh, thanks.
You can throw in up to 3 different names in the middle of that name if you want. Your favorite.
What
three.
Is his name? Genuine. Tony James?
Nope, no. There's no Tony, James in it.
There's no James.
No.
Tony Brooks?
Tony Brooks.
Tony Brooks Jr., right? That's the actual human being's name. I could not remember.
It's Tony Jones Jr.
Okay. Oh, there is a Jones.
Tony Jones.
There's no
James. There's no James.
Wait, is there a Brooks?
No Brooks.
No.
Okay, so whatever.
Yesterday.
Kyle is dying over there.
Yesterday, Jason.
What's his name, Kyle?
Tony Jones.
Tony Brooks, James Jones Jr.
Yeah, thank you.
Jason was trying to find him in our system on the fantasyfootballers.com to look at his profile. He could not find him.
You do need to know the name for that.
I couldn't remember his name.
I typed a couple different things. I'm like, I can't find him. What is his name? We have changed his name so many times.
Tony Jones Jr.
Okay, thank you. Tony Jones Jr.
I think the reason is there's Tony Brooks James, the running back.
Yes.
And then there's Tony Jones.
I think that's how it started once upon a time.
Hmm. One of them might play running back this week. Hayden Hurst, doubtful to play for the Bengals moving forward next week.
It feels like an upgrade for Boyd at the least.
He can drop more passes this week?
Yeah. That was so bad.
One of the worst of the season.
I don't know how you can start Boyd
Well, there's with leagues,
any confidence.
There are devil leagues out there where people will need to play him.
Yes, there are, Mike. Mike, we share a team that is one of them.
Mike White will start against Buffalo.
He will, but we did hear from the Jets coaching staff, the plan is for Zach Wilson to play at some point this year.
One of the most ridiculous comments I've ever seen from a head coach. I need to go watch the video because if there's got to be more to it.
There has to be because all I've seen is the headline that he expects him to play again this season.
Does that mean like
you're expecting
actually be the backup because he's been inactive?
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Hopefully that's it. Because are you expecting Mike White to get injured? I mean, the fact that you said Mike White's going to start week 14, the reason that is in our news section is because of this quote where he's saying,
yeah,
Zach Wilson's going to play again this year.
If Mike White goes out and throws three picks, get ready for some mayhem.
Yeah.
Because what he gives, you know, sometimes these coaches with a defense like that, the only way you feel like you're going to lose is with turnovers. Mike White was a little off in this past game. So
sure.
He's got it right now. He should be the starter, but stranger things. Week 13 injury recap article by Matthew Betts up on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. We'll be monitoring practice reports. There's going to be some waiver decisions to be made that you don't know what the outcome is really going to be yet, but that is the nature of Tuesday.
Yeah, and one of those pickups could end up being the Raiders' defense. They should be widely available because they're one of the worst defenses out there. But if John Wolfert, who is currently day-to-day, and that's a Thursday night game, so not a lot of recovery time, if he's out and they have to go back to Bryce Perkins, then...
Never go back to Perkins.
Then I would be willing to fire up the Las Vegas Raiders' defense.
Certainly. I'd play him against Wolford.
Wolford is not horrific.
They are horrific themselves.
Yeah, that's why I would play. Like if it was
no, I mean like the Raiders are a risky play.
Sure, but they can at least rush the passer, and the Rams' offensive line is terrible. Like if it was Stafford, I would still be willing to stream the Raiders.
Maybe I'm just a little bitter from thinking that again for Seattle's defense last week. That was today's news and notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. A couple of things I failed to mention at the top. Trivia night on our Fantasy Footballers
baby.
Discord.
Woo-hoo.
So the Foot Clan, if you head over there, if you want to support the show and become a Foot Clan member, that's jointhefoot.com. But then there's trivia night on Discord for the Foot Clan tonight at 8 p.m.
We have a
Eastern.
Signed Footballers 10 that we're giving away to a winner.
10?
Yeah,
a tin of cookies?
I didn't know what to call those.
I didn't either. We've
that's why
I wouldn't
I
just
said
call
nothing.
It a tin.
A tin okay. sign?
A tin is something you put something inside of.
Yeah,
and
really? That's true. Yeah, yes.
That would be a sign.
A container.
Yeah, a
They're
metal
listed
sign.
On shopballers.com as metal sign.
Okay, we've got a signed metal sign.
Papa Josh.
That sounds way better.
Papa Josh says it's a tin tacker.
That's another another name for it.
A tin tacker? Because you tack it on the wall?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're technically called tin tackers, yeah.
Must be made out of tin.
I just thought there were going to be Christmas cookies in this tin, and I was getting real...
Either way, like, it's cool the way it is because we signed it, or if you need to melt it down...
Right.
Because you need some tin.
Smelter.
There you go.
Yeah. And then, Jason, you got an announcement for the Megalo Bowl.
Yes, very, very important for everybody in the Megalo Bowl. Here are the two pieces of news you need to know. This is the final week before playoffs, and the playoff teams that make it into the playoffs are the top three seeds. It will be records first, your top three records. If the third record is tied, it will be a points tiebreaker. Top three teams from every single league go on to the playoffs. Also, this is your last week of waivers because it's such a massive tournament and there's sometimes bad drops being made. We lock waivers once playoffs start. So you've got all this week as open waivers or at least daily reoccurring fab waivers the way it's been all year. At the end of this week, your roster that you finish this week's games with, that is set for all 3 weeks. Plan your backups, plan your matchups if you are playoff bound because they will be locked.
Okay.
That's it.
Time to move on.
Welcome to The Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
A reminder, go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. There is a waiver wire rankings page if you want to review where we have players ranked. You know, it always comes down to what you need for your roster. Do you need a start this week? Are you looking for the highest upside overall heading into the fantasy playoffs? Six teams are on bye this week: the Bears, Colts, Commanders, Falcons, Packers, and Saints. And it's time to dive into what wide receivers we're welcoming into the fold this week. So who's at the tippy top of your list?
Well, I think for this week, you're probably looking for a start, more so than a stash. This is the final week to get in before the playoffs, a lot of bye weeks. So if I'm looking to start a player, there are two options that I like. My number one option that I like is someone that I think people will have a hard time starting because of what a disappointment and a trap game he just had.
Oh, no, the spot starter?
The spot starter, Zay Jones. He had a line of two catches for 16 yards this last week in a great matchup against Detroit. Obviously, a very huge disappointment. He had two bad drops in the game. One of those drops would have been a touchdown. He knows when to disappoint, but I think people are off of Zay Jones this week. The pressure is off. It's still a good matchup against Tennessee where you can't run the ball, but you can throw the ball. He had seven targets. He's getting enough targets and is talented enough where it was between him and Michael Gallup for me as far as who I would want to throw into my lineup. Gallup's been really involved.
You'd play Zay Jones over Michael Gallup?
Well, the Houston matchup for the Cowboys, I just expect the Cowboys to – I mean, goodness gracious, like they'll probably be arrested and not allowed to leave to Jacksonville the following week because of the manslaughter charges that will be brought on for what they're going to do to the Houston Texans. So I don't think they're going to have to throw the ball that much. Now, it could be Gallup with the touchdown, but we've seen this week after week after week, teams playing Houston, the passing game just is nerfed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would start Zay Jones in that matchup over Michael Gallup. I'm not, you know, chasing the two touchdowns. Gallup only had 23 receiving yards in that game. Just got into the end zone twice. So I would probably play Zay Jones. If I didn't need to start somebody this week, I don't want Jahan Dotson to be ignored.
Agreed.
Coming off the injury, like he was an important piece. Then he came back off the injury, was eased in snap-wise, and now I think, you know, you just look at the end of the year, you're saying, well, do you want Jahan Dotson on your roster, or do you want, you know, to take a shot with one of these Sherfield, Carter, Nico Collins? I think if you don't need somebody this week, he's somebody that should be rostered.
Yeah, and obviously he's on bye, so you can't need him this week, but he is very, very talented. If you look
Dotson, we've got Dotson here.
There you go.
What?
It's been a minute since that one, but
we just repurposed the Dotson drop.
Yeah. No, he says.
I believe he says
Jahan Dotson in that.
Jahan's
really quiet. Jahan Dotson
he whispers. Yeah. Okay,
that's my understanding from
gotcha.
The classic Jurassic Park movie.
For an actual spot start this week, I would also throw out the name DJ Chark. He's coming off a game, six targets, 5 for 98. So I think he had five targets the week before. He's back from his injury, and he gets to play the Minnesota Vikings, who have a problem when it comes to wide receivers. I mean, look at what Garrett Wilson did. Look at Corey Davis. Like Corey Davis is fine. Like he's a fine NFL player. But the fact that teams are having success against the Minnesota Vikings and Chark is getting a decent enough target share, plus the big playability that Chark brings, I think that he is an option this week.
I think the matchup is what puts that over the top for me. DJ right. Chark, Corey Davis and Darius Slayton. Those three guys are very similar in the sense that I think they're good games. They're like 5 for 90 or somewhere around there. They're deeper play. They can have a big play against any team, but Corey Davis plays in Buffalo this week and Darius Slayton plays against Philadelphia. He might get Slay on Slayton.
Right.
So I would prefer Chark over those two other matchup plays, but both Corey Davis and Darius Slayton, I think, can go out there. I mean, Darius Slayton's been a top 24 wide receiver in five of the last eight games. And I know he had a good game against another difficult matchup. I don't remember what it was off the top of my head. So,
Slayton?
Yeah.
Slayton is top 24 wide receiver in 5 of 8 games. Isaiah Hodgins breaking out for New York, and then you have Richie James with the underneath routes in New York. If you is that the order you put them in? Are you still Slayton, Hodgins? Would you go Slayton, Hodgins, James?
Yes, yeah. Of those three, for sure.
Yeah, I'll just take the talent. As far as like stashing a guy, I mentioned Corey Davis. I'm not really wanting to play him against Buffalo, but the upcoming schedule for the Jets would be Detroit, Jacksonville, Seattle. So that's an interesting 3-game run there for a guy he's back. He was, you know, 2 weeks ago he was coming off the injury, didn't play his full snaps, only had 3 targets, but this past week back over 80% of the snaps, 10 targets. Again, I don't want to play him against Buffalo, but as long as Mike White is starting against Detroit and Jacksonville the next couple weeks, Corey Davis is in flux consideration.
And we haven't brought up Trent Sherfield's name, but he's interesting. Only he had a 75-yard touchdown, only 3 targets, but
has he seen any target volume?
No target volume. This is solely just a if Jalen Waddle to miss this game, I don't think he'll miss it because he kept coming back in the game, but he's clearly banged up. But if Waddle were to miss against the Chargers, Sherfield will probably be involved more than he has been on the season.
DeMarcus Robinson had 8 targets again for Baltimore. They're
going to be from Huntley, though.
Which is fine. I mean,
they were last week, too.
Yeah, they were from Huntley last week. And if you remember, the passing volume you would expect to go up. Huntley still runs the ball, but not as much as Lamar Jackson. Remember last year when Mark Andrews went all Hamburglar? That was with Huntley. That was with him throwing the ball. So I agree. DeMarcus Robinson probably belongs a little bit higher up in this list.
Would you'd add Jahan Dotson over Jameson Williams?
I would, yes. Because he's playing a lot of snaps. In fact, this last week his snap count went way up.
91%.
Exactly. And he had been living in the 60s, 70s, whereas Jameson Williams, I just don't know if he gets really involved this season at all.
He's still recovering, and he's still a prospect. Like, we haven't seen Jameson Williams. You could proclaim, like, well, he was the greatest wide receiver in this draft. He had the ACL. That's the only reason he wasn't. But you have not seen it yet. Jahan Dotson has already proven on an NFL field that he can play. So I would go with him.
Top drop candidates. I mean, this is an important part of the year to kind of cut bait, move forward.
Oh, goodness.
Cortland Sutton, Michael Pittman, Jakobi Meyers.
Rough.
I'm not cutting Meyers.
I don't think I'm going to cut any of those guys. If those guys were on waivers, I would pick them up. The one that I would cut first would probably be Sutton.
Sutton is dealing with a day-to-day hamstring injury right now.
Injured with a bad quarterback, Jerry Jeudy back. I can't imagine. Like, I won't be starting Cortland Sutton this week and possibly going into the future. So he would be the one that I would cut bait first.
Yeah, the hamstring makes it very difficult.
Let's take a quick break, come back with some running back waiver wire pickups.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. All right, I think the fantasy leagues will be fighting to welcome James Cook into the fold this week. James Cook saw a massive increase in usage in Buffalo. I think the consensus might be it's his time, right, to make a big difference in this offense. He had 20 touches against New England, 14 on the ground, 6 for 41 through the air. That's what I'm the most interested in.
Sure.
He is more fluid coming out of the backfield and receiving the football than I think Devin Singletary is. Singletary is competent. Cook is fluid. Goal line seems to be Singletary, and he'll still be used, but we know what this team likes to do at running back when they have the option, which is to share it.
And the juice is with James Cook. When there is a hole that is opened up and you watch, like Singletary in a crowd is much better than James Cook. But if you open up a lane and you send both of those guys through it, James Cook's getting at least 8 yards further down the field before he stops his speedy run. That's not the game for Singletary. So it's tough, though, to – like, James Cook seems like the number one pickup this week because there's so many question marks with all these guys. But can you really confidently even start him? Can you – it's the Jets. The Jets have a good defense.
I think you can flex him.
I think he's in flex consideration. He's also – you're looking further ahead, too, of like, if you're picking up James Cook at this point – You're just doing a Hail Mary no matter what you're doing for your running back position, which I have a team out there where it's like, got Jonathan Taylor on bye. Ken Walker may not play. It's like, it got ravaged. I have to go to the waiver wire. So James Cook it's not the best play, but then Miami, Chicago. Mm. Like, if you get the confidence boost with another snap performance like this, another opportunity performance like this, then you're going to feel great playing him in those next coming matchups.
That is a really great point. If he has a good game against the Jets, he'll be a must start the following week.
Yes.
He's also had runs of 33, 24, 29, 28. Like, if he has one of those big kind of season-defining 50-plus-yard touchdown runs, he'll be making headlines, and all of a sudden you'll be sitting pretty. Brooks made the comparison. It's like Tony Pollard can do stuff that Zeke can't do.
Yeah.
Cook can do stuff that
Singletary
can't do. But Bam Knight's also going to get chased. 54% rostered. A lot of people picked him up and started him last week. Running back for the Jets, 15 for 90, 5 targets, 55% of snaps. 55! A knight in shining armor.
It's not the best matchup against Buffalo, but they're not the defense that they were at the beginning of the year. Zonovan Knight is a very good play if Michael Carter is out.
Yep.
And we just don't know whether or not Michael Carter will be back. It was a low ankle sprain, so the timeline says he could be back. Honestly, I think that there's a chance based on what Zonovan Knight did, gives you maybe more confidence to not rush Michael Carter back. If both James Cook and if I knew that Carter was out and I needed to start this week, I would rather start Zonovan Knight over James Cook for this week.
Here's a tough one, though. Would you rather start Cam Akers over Zonovan Knight? Cam Akers is playing the Raiders. Got 17 attempts. To me, this decision is tough because John Wolford makes the offense so much better than Bryce Perkins does. If I knew that Akers had Wolford and you're playing the Raiders, is that a better play than Knight, or is it not because Knight has so much more juice?
If Carter is out, I'll play Knight above Akers. I definitely can see a trap coming from the Rams. If you look at who has led in snap percentage on a week-by-week basis, it just changes. It's like, oh, okay, here's clarity. Nope. It's Henderson. It's Akers. It's Kyren. It just goes back and forth. And I agree with you completely. Like, Cam Akers, if Wolford is starting, is is a good enough play to put in your lineup with six bye weeks. But if Perkins is a starter, I won't trust Akers.
Mike, how do you order Cook, Knight, and Akers?
I would go, if I'm setting it right now with the information that we have, it would go Cook, then, oh, man. The Akers-Knight decision is so brutal because I agree that if Michael Carter is out, it would be easily Zonovan Knight for me against Buffalo. That matchup doesn't scare me anymore. So as of right now, I think I would go Cook, Knight, Akers. I'd roll the dice.
Akers potential to have a longer shelf life?
He does.
Possibly, yeah.
But he's it's all about the game script here for Cam Akers because Kyren is still the pass-catching running back. They had an okay game here. Against the Raiders, Akers should be okay-ish. The 17 carries, but he got 60 yards. He had two rushing touchdowns, but 60 yards on 17 attempts is not great. Green Bay, Denver, up with that.
72% of snaps.
Yeah, he was absolutely the guy. Zonovan Knight how do you guys look at the Jets situation of, let's say Michael Carter comes back next week. Are you going to project fully right back to Michael Carter, or does the team turn it into a timeshare with Zonovan Knight, who's had tremendous success because the upcoming matchups, talked about it for Corey Davis.
Carter will get
great.
All the third down, and Carter will share some of the running work, and then that's what my concern would be for Zonovan Knight is you're at 11 for, 42 with one catch, as a peak.
Yeah, and you're probably not wanting to start either of those players if Carter is back.
I had a couple other questions at the running back position, specifically Jerick McKinnon, because, 8 for 51 on the ground, 2 for 9 and a touchdown through the air. He's out there as much as Pacheco. Like, they're both out there 45%, 50%, 40%. They're pretty much sharing that backfield. I think they both scored this past week.
Yes.
So, if Pacheco is out there, everyone would fight for him. Is McKinnon being undervalued as a spot start, especially on a 6-team bye week? Is he the Zay Jones of the running back position? A spot start that you can, maybe Zay Jones didn't perform because there weren't enough teams on bye last week.
He needed more opportunity. Yeah. Jerick McKinnon is probably being undervalued right now in the sense that he's available in half of leagues, and he is playing a lot of snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs and been good enough to be a spot start this week specifically against the Denver Broncos in Denver. Does not project to be a great high-scoring affair. Certainly is not going to be a game where Denver hops out to a big lead and you've got to use the pass-catching prowess of McKinnon. So I don't see him as a Zay-level Jones spot start this week, but undervalued.
Zay-level Jones?
Is that what I said?
Yes. You did say Zay-level Jones.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. That is well said, Jason.
It doesn't matter the order the words are in. I think there was some study about that. You can just put them in any order.
It was a great point.
Everyone understands it the same.
Yeah. I feel like after those three guys, it's pretty much...
What do you do with Seattle?
Stashes and miracles. That's one of the miracles is Seattle.
Problem is you can't invest right now.
But you have to,
you
right?
You can put a zero on Tony... Jones
you
Jr.
could put a zero on Tony Jones Jr., but Kenneth Walker situation. We heard that Rashad Penny could make it back by the end of the year. They could sign somebody this week. DJ Dallas could be fine, even though he's dealing with an injury.
Do you put any kind of claim whatsoever on DJ Dallas or Travis Homer?
I mean, you can go zero.
I'm not. I'd go Tony Jones or bust.
Man.
Which has Tony Jones had snaps at all?
Not really. He got in this game and he also got injured.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
He was
7 for 14.
I forgot he also got hurt.
Yeah,
he did get in the game.
He was basically the next man up, but he left that game. That's why they had to go back
DJ Dallas. That's right.
I'd bid a dollar.
Okay.
I'd bid a dollar on Tony Jones.
Okay.
Gets Carolina. That's pretty good.
Jason, would you bid a dollar on every name that he has?
Oh, Tony, man, that, Tony, then I would have to.
He probably doesn't have enough fab.
Yeah, I think I'm capped at $28 right now, so I don't think I can do it a dollar per name here for Tony Brooks, James Jones, Robinson Jr.
Oh, it's Robinson now.
Yeah, so he is someone you could take a shot on because obviously if
yeah, if those guys are all if they're all out and you're playing Carolina, then like he caught two passes, he had seven carries, and it was in a small amount of the game.
There will be a running back this week against Carolina who is a decent fantasy option. At this point in time, we don't know who that is. It's really early on Tuesday morning before your waiver wire goes through. It is possible there is new information out coming out from beat reporters in Seattle. You just got to pay attention to it because right now it's impossible to know.
Any other names that you want to mention?
It is the time you need to have your insurance running backs or be blocking other people. So if Alexander Madison's on your waiver wire, he is an absolute must roster to me. I think that Jordan Mason, as the next man up for San Francisco, has moved to me as he needs to be rostered at least by somebody in your league, because with Brock Purdy, that's his name, right? Did I get his first name?
You nailed it.
With that situation of the quarterback, I know he threw a ton, but I'm guessing they're going to want to lean on the running backs a little bit more. So that's more work for Christian McCaffrey.
More opportunity to get injured,
and I'm saying that as Christian McCaffrey is, I need him to get me into the playoffs. But you got to be prepared for situations. Joshua Kelly for the Chargers. It looks like he took back the job as the primary backup over Isaiah Spiller. And then I think the last one who's a higher upside to me would be Kenneth Gainwell for the Philadelphia Eagles. That's a projection. Should Miles Sanders miss time, I think Gainwell's the one that would get the big bump.
Yeah, the last name I'll throw to your list in addition is Matt Breida. He's my usual Sunday morning IR pickup. Like when I get a guy who can move to IR and I'm looking for someone on waivers, Breida's usually there. He's easy to drop right after the week, but if Saquon went down, there's really no depth chart behind Breida.
Are you willing to cut, like there's some names, Cook, Knight, Akers, McKinnon. Are you willing to cut Gus Edwards?
Yes.
Antonio Gibson?
No.
James Robinson?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's dive into some tight ends we're welcoming into the fold. I think Greg Dulcich.
Oh, yeah.
The D will be back at the top of the list.
Especially with Courtland Sutton. If Sutton's missing or is hampered by the hamstring, I think that's why you saw Greg Dulcich pull in 6 for 85 this past week.
6 for 85, deep targets. He's running good routes for a rookie tight end. And they're playing against Kansas City this week. So, you know, Kansas City's defense isn't in and of itself. It's bad, but their offense is so good that their defense ends up giving up points through the game. Now, you got a Russell Wilson clear problem here. But I do think for all the tight ends that are gone, I mean, even like Cole Kmet is on bye and you've got injuries elsewhere, Greg Dulcich is probably one of the more important pickups this week.
Nathaniel Hackett said they're using him in a wide receiver role. So you want that. You want the non-blocking wide receiver tight end. Kmet's on bye. Evan Engram, 7 targets, 5 for 30 and a touchdown. You are always playing with fire with Evan Engram. If you catch the right game, you're happy. He's athletic enough to be involved around the goal line.
The floor is uno. 1 point is a solid outing realistically from Evan Engram, but this week I would agree. And honestly, for me, Hunter Henry is...
Oh, man. Arizona, baby.
That's all it is. If you're looking for a one-week start, we've done it all year long to great success. You grab whatever tight end, whether they've been great or not. They're going to have a better game than usual against Arizona than their normal game. Hunter Henry had a touchdown a couple weeks ago coming off a bye, so he's a spot start as well.
2 catches last week for Hunter Henry. I wanted to take a quick glance at Mr. Johnny Smith, who also had 2 catches.
It was very disappointing for Henry last week.
Whoever runs laterally behind the line of scrimmage, could be Johnny
Smith.
That
could be Johnny Smith, you're right.
Noah Fant, 5 targets, 4 for 42 and a touchdown last week. He's safer than some because I think 2 to 3 catches is his floor with Seattle.
Also, this last week, I was
number 2 tight end.
I was not. Oh, on the week, yes,
yes, because 4 for 42 and a touchdown was that good.
Yes,
Seattle
Taysom Hill was number one.
I don't think so.
Who was number one on the week at tight end? If 4 for 42 and a touchdown, am I forgetting somebody from last night? Kate Otten?
1 sec.
Yeah, we'll get that. But the Seattle passing game is worth noting because the running backs are so depleted there. We've obviously talked about it, that this is what happened last week. I think Kenneth Walker would have had a great game, and maybe DK Metcalf, Lockett not quite as good, but they just had to throw the ball every play. So Noah Fant is definitely a good pickup against Carolina.
I did get confirmation that it was Taysom Hill.
Oh.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, that's fine. A dance party for people's benches.
He did get hit in the face, by the way.
Yes, sort of. He should have caught it.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Stay on brand, Mike.
Yeah.
I like it.
Pro concussion, Mike Wright.
Oh, not pro concussion. Pro, what's he being paid?
A lot of money.
There you go. You get paid a lot of money, you better catch that ball.
There's just like satchels and satchels of hatred that you carry behind. Let it go, Mike.
Oh,
let it all go.
Yeah, I'm just like Taysom. I will let it go.
All right. The Raiders defense this week plays the Rams.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah, I am. I'm less into it if it's Wolford, genuinely.
Okay.
The Chiefs, they play Denver. I'm very into that.
Sure.
Seattle plays Carolina. I'm into that.
Yes, definitely.
Baltimore is one of my favorites by far of the week against Pittsburgh. Yeah, I like them more than Pittsburgh. I think you could play both.
Really? I like Pittsburgh more than Baltimore.
Baltimore's just been a really, really solid performer for fantasy, and I just know the kind of trouble they're going to give Kenny Pickett, and so I feel a little more cozy there. I think Tyler Huntley can manufacture slightly more offense against Pittsburgh, but I think they're both good starts.
Yeah, both are good starts. Pittsburgh's going to be more widely available. Baltimore's probably rostered in your league.
The over-under's 37 right now.
It's on gross.
On that Baltimore. That game's going to be disgusting.
They're just, you know, Pittsburgh won't run. They won't be able to run against Baltimore. So it's going to be Kenny Pickett chucking it, and we'll see what happens.
Just get Luth.
Yeah, he will try. I want Pickett to succeed. I've said this a few times this year because I think he's got the mental makeup that, like, if you could take his mental makeup and then just throw him into, like, Trevor Lawrence's body, I think you'd have a really good quarterback. But every week, like, of all the quarterbacks I watch, Kenny Pickett misses a lot of throws.
Yeah.
Like, he's in the top five every week of throws that I'm like, dang, man, like, you had that guy, or that ball was placed wrong, or you made that read wrong. Like,
he's gotten better over the last
month. Like, he's a rookie.
Month, but he's still, right. Yeah, he looks like a rookie out there, and just the actual throw is often just too bad. I mean, that's the only way you can put it. It's like the read isn't wrong.
I can see
you didn't do anything wrong. It's just terrible throw.
I can hear Troy Aikman making that analysis there. The throw is bad.
Yeah.
Bad
also,
throw.
For defensive pickups, unfortunately, the opponent of the Houston Texans is not going to be on your waiver wire. That's usually our go-to.
Yes.
The Dallas Cowboys, if you have them, enjoy.
Are you paying up in DFS?
I have built at least 10 lineups.
They're in my lineup right now. Absolutely. Yeah, I paid up.
Yeah, I did, and I've moved away from it because it's expensive, right?
Yeah,
it costs you, but
it's hard to put them in, and they might not be there come Friday, but as of right now, they are in my
That's
lineup.
Fun.
Yeah, it's
I had to budget my wide receivers so I could afford this defense.
Pretty much. All right, that was Welcome to the Fold, presented by our friends at Samsung, the Samsung Galaxy. You can unfold edge-to-edge screen. Is that way you can see all of the turnovers by Houston? Of the Galaxy Z Fold 4?
The screen is large enough for the Houston Texans turnovers. That's how big the screen is.
You can maximize your game viewing experience with that Galaxy Z Fold 4, and you can visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
Well, Jason, you have my favorite stream of the week. You got in here nice and early.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you kick it off, and then I will take the quarterback on the other side.
Sure. The Minnesota-Detroit game, I'll go with Jared Goff. Goff is at home. In seven games, he has 17 passing touchdowns at home. And the Vikings have allowed the most passing yards, the highest yards per attempt, 7.6 in the NFL. They're pretty good against the run, not great against the passing game. We saw what Mike White just put up, 369 yards against them. Since week five, they rank 29th in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. It's a great matchup. I expect both these quarterbacks to be good.
Yeah, and I'm taking...
Jared Goff introducing...
That's not even introducing. That's like I'm walking off the stage. Jason had stopped talking about him.
I was trying not to interrupt. I was waiting for a break.
Just perfectly do the drops timed whenever it. You want yeah. during the whole show. Hit something else. Thank you.
Jared Goff.
63 points. That is the average for Detroit home game. 63 combined points.
Wow.
And it's going to continue. Captain Kirk is my stream of the week at quarterback. Detroit's going to give it up. Minnesota's going to give it up. I want players throughout this entire game. And I want the one with Justin Jefferson.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with Captain Kirk.
What's the over-under on that game right now?
53.
Yeah. Not bad.
Delightful. Not bad.
And I'm going to go with, I'm going to send in the car. Derek Carr.
You can hit that drop.
Yeah.
Well, wait till he's done talking, right?
Yeah.
Send in the car. Send in the car.
He's playing the Los Angeles Rams. He's actually been top 12 in four of his last five starts. The Rams, it's not going well for this team. Look, they've allowed three top 12 weeks in a row. One of those was Andy Dalton. I will say Derek Carr currently, I'm looking at our site, sitting at quarterback 13. So he's got to be careful to manage the equilibrium of ending the season at QB 13. So should he have a good performance here, you better watch out because it's going to balance.
Are you saying that because he was the quarterback 13 last year?
Yes.
And because he was the quarterback 13 the year prior to that?
Yes.
And currently the quarterback. Yeah, I expect him to be the quarterback.
So he's going to be good this week, but then we might have to bail out.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think you should throw the ball to Davante Adams on every play.
Sometimes he thinks that, too.
I know.
He's been doing that. And which has been a great success.
I mean, he just...
Check this out. Just throw it up towards the side of the field he's on and let him go make a play.
There was a highlight of just another nasty route from Davante Adams this past week. And the Chargers defender just fell over. Like, he hit him with an and one move, and the defender goes, yeah! It's just that's how he's wide open because he makes people fall over because he's so nasty.
They have they've won three straight games against Denver, Seattle, and the Chargers. They have the Rams, Patriots, Pittsburgh the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, play him against the Rams.
It's not impossible that they go on a nice 5-6 game run here.
Could be. Pats, Steelers, 49ers, Chiefs.
Yeah, I didn't talk about the 49er part on purpose.
And the Chiefs.
Well, that's where he will plummet back to QB 13.
Yeah, I see that possible. Top 12 in four of his last five starts.
Yep.
So going with Derek Carr and his good friend Davante Adams. People want to know if they should drop Tom Brady.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, Brooks, you traded for Brady in Dynasty.
He had no choice.
So you've got Brady and Russell Wilson. How are you feeling?
Yeah, see, he had no choice.
I'm feeling great. That was a huge upgrade for what I was dealing with.
Do you have anybody else on that roster at quarterback?
I had Stafford. Oh, I have Tyler Huntley. Had him on the bench. And Andy Dalton.
You know who else you have on your bench, Brooks?
Who's that?
Got another quarterback on your bench, I noticed.
Who's that?
Who's that? I'm blanking.
Yeah, you're blanking. All right.
Are you blanking?
Are you able
no,
to
No, I'm not
say
blanking. I'm just pausing for dramatic effect. It's Case Keenum.
You know I've been holding him once that injury
Yeah, thanks,
came up.
Brother. Thanks. Because I was looking for him to back up my Josh Allen. And, of course, my arch nemesis has Case Keenum for no good reason.
Because Brooks has every backup player.
How does he have such a big roster?
Because of the infinite wealth, he has 100 roster spots.
That'd be a funny...
for every backup.
That'd be a funny league if you could gamify a league where, like, it reminds me of, like, massive multiplayer online games where you could pay for a bigger bag. Like if you could, and it goes into the pot at the end of the year.
Just pay to win?
Well, it's not pay to win. You just pay for an extra bench spot. It's like $50 into the pot for one extra bench spot. It's microtransactions, Mike.
I think that it would, if it's $50, you're going to have everybody having one extra bench spot.
What if it was a lot more though? It's $250.
Oh man.
Yeah.
For a bench spot?
That's good. I used to play in a league where all transactions cost money. but like a trade was
back
20,
in the 1940s or
yes, in the 40s. A trade was $20.
You sent it by telegram.
So it went to the league. $20 went to the league if a trade was made, 10 from each team. But you could take that on and say, hey, you put this trade together, I'll pay the full 20.
What?
Yeah. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Corruption certainly won't slide into that league.
Al calls them Ticketmaster leagues.
Oh.
Dropping Tom Brady, sure.
He's against San Francisco this week.
Let me put it this way. That's...
And followed up by the Bengals.
Look, you need to start looking at players like Jared Goff as potential quarterbacks into the fantasy playoffs, in my opinion.
Sure. I think that, and depending on your waiver wire, like Jared Goff's not available for everybody. He's, I don't know where he's, like 60% or something. But legit, Brock Purdy, Mike White, the schedules for those two quarterbacks after this week are... They're going to be in our streamers for sure. At least one of those guys.
Yeah, and if you're in a two quarterback league, Brock Purdy's going to be hot on the waiver wire. And this is the time of year, like, empty your bag,
right?
You know, save a couple bucks for the playoff run if you're there. If you're not there, do whatever you got to do to get there, and don't be shy on. You know, it's like, oh, this player, Zonovan Knight. You know, you'd usually bid 10, 15, bid 80 if that's all you... If you've got 100 left of your budget, just go get your guys.
All right, that is going to do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Ride or Die, Thursday Night Preview, Mailbag, and special announcement tomorrow.
Oh!
Need the Foot Clan to step up. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.